tonight.
Oh, you got it working this week? You got it, Nick? Yeah, he's not
yes,
on camera.
Yes, Tom, it's working.
The Muppets are coming to Liberty Square. Also, Home on the Range is coming to Tomorrowland. Rumors.
Makes as much sense.
Rumors have it that Mission Space is going to get a Guardians of the Galaxy theme. Now the only thing they're missing is a bar.
The dumbest show.
Also, we're playing the Family Feud, where even though the word family isn't in it, we're still going to berate you every time you do something wrong. You've read WDW News Today. Now you listen to WDW News Tonight. Yay, fake applause. Yay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tom Corliss. You're not. Nicholas Cicero over there in the control room. You can't see him, though, because he forgot his cap. It's always something, Nick.
It really is. Something. It really is. We did a homegrown show last week. We did.
So I'm the only one on camera. You get to look at this beautiful face for the next 2 hours. Jason's down there on camera, actually. We'll see Jason at some point.
Hello.
Yeah, so there's Jason in the control booth. Just go with it. And it's an exciting show this week. We got a lot of news, Nick. A lot of news to cover. We have a guest in studio, which doesn't happen very often.
Oh, we love to have guests in. They often feel trapped and sometimes scared by the end of the 2 hours.
Before you left, you were like, I'm going to lock you guys in now. So the door's closed. Ben Lancaster, of course, was involved in it's the Further Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head.
Love it.
Yes. So we're going to talk to him coming up at 9:30. Very excited about it. Ron Schneider is also going to be with us, of course, as well. Longtime friend of the show. Happy to have him back as well. So more on that later. We got the Family Feud finally. We put it off for 3 weeks.
Yeah. But it's big. It's good.
It is a full version of the game this week. We're pretty excited about it.
And we have sisters involved, and we purposefully split them up onto different teams.
Yeah. Pretty excited about it. Anytime we can cause anarchy,
yes,
as you all know. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. A big audience out there at listen.wdwnt.com. Also, hello to those of you out there on AM 1520 WBZW, our radio home. And as well, everyone just watching out there on YouTube. Apparently, there's a big contingent of people that just watch every week on YouTube. So welcome to you as well. And now,
God bless
Nick,
you.
The news
brought
to you by TeePublic, our wonderful partner. More on them later. So the Muppets, let's talk about this. We broke this story today. The Muppets are apparently coming to Liberty Square at the Magic Kingdom. In fact, they were spotted at the end of the Haunted Mansion with Hall of Presidents, Here We Come signs.
Love it. I can picture that, too.
Good thing they had their magic bands on. Of course, they had to rip the adult size off. They have tiny, like, felt wrists.
Yeah. You know. Little Rizzo and Scooter and everybody.
The rather lengthy facade refurbishment of the Heritage House and, of course, the home of the Hall of Presidents seems to have been for this new attraction, which will have the Muppets teaching and interacting with guests concerning U.S. history. So, you know, it'll be kind of like the Daily Show, just not funny. If the ABC show is anything to go off of, at least. And Jason pulled up the story. I love that picture.
It's a great picture. Did you Photoshop that?
No, it's on. I found it on the internet.
Nice. Well, which is fair use.
What most people are going to say when someone walks in on them listening to this right now. What are you listening to? I don't know. I found it on the internet. Anyway. The Muppet characters, which were reportedly built in collaboration between the Muppet Studios and Walt Disney Imagineering, will be appearing high above guests in the second-story windows above Liberty Square. No climbing signs will likely be installed to keep guests away, though.
Gonna have to. Some fences.
Fences
and signs. We're all about fences and signs these days.
Of course, we have no other info at this time, but as stated above, testing of the new attraction seems imminent. So before Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Pandora joke of the week. No one can see me dance this week, though.
No, and probably for the best. Ben was watching you dance.
That's good. Yeah, I saw that. That's
usual audience of one. That's our usual crowd anyway. So there you go.
I got to come up with a new dance.
As usual with any WDWNT story, Walt Disney World has not announced this attraction as of yet. Surprise! We had it first. It has been a strange day, Nick. It has been a very strange day in the news. The other rumor, that's not really a rumor. We've in fact confirmed that. That's a thing that's really happening. But
confirmed! It's our confirmed music. Some people don't think it's
you
a rumor.
You barely can play the music I ask you to play every week. You're going to try and add stuff in now? Is that
wow. Wow.
You're going to get an hard this week because you didn't bring your camera.
Breaking news.
Nick's in trouble. Surprise.
Nick's playing the right audio this
week. Never happened before. So it's been a strange day. The other rumor, I pasted the same story twice. So I'm going to skip that. The rumor going around about Mission Space.
Yes.
Maybe getting a Guardians of the Galaxy overlay. How many Guardians of the Galaxy overlay rumors could we possibly have?
You're going to keep coming up with them until they're true. It's the motto.
These will be true. Calm down. You know, Nick, it's certainly better than the current overlay of Mission Space.
Yeah?
Yeah, vomit.
Ooh.
I mean, this does make some sense, since it sounds like the Tower of Terror in Florida is going to be spared the Guardians of the Galaxy overlay that California is getting, but probably makes little sense in the Epcot of today, at least, especially with the margarita stand closed. Well, the Epcot of tomorrow, of course, is a very different story. There's certainly been a lot of rumors lately. The Tron Light Cycle Power Run attraction has been rumored for the Magic Kingdom for a long time, but it sounds like that may become an Epcot. Also rumored is a Ratatouille attraction that may or may not be the France ride, or the Paris ride, I should say, coming to the France Pavilion. Also landing in France, several more waves of CPs who hate Americans.
It's true.
So is an Epcot riddled with IPs on the way, Nick? Is the addition and success of Frozen Ever After in Norway, at least I'm led to believe with the success of that attraction that it is. We'll see what happens. What does it mean for the future of the park? Is there any life to the original vision? Probably not, as we've seen under the Iger administration. We've seen a lot of use of current intellectual properties at the parks. So expect more of that. That's right, folks. Peach Dragon going to replace Figment.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on.
Dazzle, dazzle.
At least people know who Peach Dragon is.
No, they don't. More people definitely know who Figment is than Elliot. And that's
he's still the newest thing in the electrical parade.
That's right. Oh, boy. A limited number of D23 members have the opportunity to drop by the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror for an after-hours behind-the-scenes experience, followed by private midnight soiree with themed food, beverages, and entertainment recalling the legendary night in 1939. That's right, if you want the Tower of Terror bar, you're going to have to pay for it.
This is what happened. Disney. They saw so much excitement from your story. They were
did.
Like, ooh, we could charge for this, a special
event.
Well,
if merchandise doesn't want to let us have it, we'll just charge for it. There you go.
And you talked me into this. You made a pitch.
I did.
And I think I'm going to try to get tickets.
Okay. So D23 invites you, if you dare, to join them on October 5th at Hollywood Studios, where you are the star, because this event travels directly to the Twilight Zone, which just happens to be the only place you can clearly see the pyro for Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular.
Oh.
It's somewhere over there. You can't see it right now. It's out here somewhere. Anyway.
What? Come on.
Your evening would begin at the Hollywood Tower Hotel, which was once a beacon amid the glitz and glitter of a bustling young movie town. And there you'll discover the details and secrets that surround you during an after-hours behind-the-scenes discussion of the legendary park attraction with Imagineers. And then when the clock strikes 12, it's time to delight in a private midnight soiree. Enjoy themed food, beverages, and entertainment. And you could relive the night when five unlucky passengers first step through the door of an elevator and into a park that is mostly closed. So dumb. This behind-the-scenes experience wouldn't be complete without an exclusive photo opportunity inside the Hollywood Tower Hotel with a special yet completely predictable guest directly from the Twilight Zone. We'll leave you to figure that one out. Are you going to do that every time I say Twilight Zone?
Maybe.
Okay. Tickets are $245 a person plus $5 processing fee, so $100 more than Disney After Hours. And tickets will go on sale Monday, July 11th at 2 p.m. Pacific time at D23.com. Then the site will crash, and they will go on sale again at a time to be announced later.
So true. It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. That's a thing that hasn't happened before, but for the very first time, Nick, the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival experience is going to be expanding to some of the rest of the Walt Disney World Resort, because the Epcot parking lot just isn't big enough anymore.
I'm excited.
Are the new add-on experiences, Nick. There's a brunch with a twist at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, which is a scrumptious five-star, five-course meal prepared by the resort's award-winning chefs.
Scrumptious, yes.
Yes, there's the Secrets of Flavor at Disney's Yacht Club Resort, a three-course lunch that gives guests a sensory food connection at Yachtsman Steakhouse. By the way, for a much cheaper price, you can probably get a sensory food connection at OBT. culinary adventures with a master chef at the Contemporary, where you watch for 5 hours as your food doesn't come upstairs. No, it's a hands-on chef's table experience in a professional working kitchen, which probably isn't at the Contemporary, but anyway. There's also the Contemporary. I never cut them a break at the Contemporary, man. And there's then behind the scenes at Trader Sam's Grog Grotto at the Polynesian Village, which is an entertaining tour of whimsical Trader Sam's, followed by lunch and a special mixology session. I know you and I both said we're going to be signing up for this.
Yes, please. Sure, yeah. That one looks good.
It does. And it's pretty reasonably priced. It's $100.
Yeah. It can't be.
These things are usually a little more expensive, so I'm okay with that.
Or $49
less than Disney After Hours.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess, of course, can begin making reservations for these festival experiences on July 21st. Meanwhile, starting July 1st and 2nd, roughly, guests can purchase portable charging batteries at fuel rod kiosks being added to Walt Disney World theme parks, Disney Springs, and ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex, provided anyone actually goes there. Fuel rod kiosks dispense portable charging batteries for $30 each, which includes
Run Disney Expos.
A portable charging battery, a 6-inch USB Type-A to micro USB cable for Android devices. Should anyone have those? There's one Apple 30-pin to USB cable and one Apple Lightning to USB cable.
Do they have one for Josh's phone?
No.
No.
No. The purchase is not a rental. The charging device would be yours with the purchase. Kiosks are located all over the parks. You can find out a full list online, but I'll read them. I'll go ahead and read them. Magic Kingdom has the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company, Big Top Souvenirs, Pecos Bills, because you know you want to buy a charging station after you get a taco burger. Curtain Call Collectibles. At Epcot, there's Disney Traders. At Hollywood Studios, the Five and Dime.
It's the reading a list music.
Okay. Animal Kingdom at Island Mercantile. Disney Springs at the Marketplace Disney Photo Imaging Center.
What?
What used to be Guest Relations.
Oh, okay.
And Disney Quest. And, well, they got to have something at Disney Quest, I suppose. And at ESPN Wide World of Sports at Somewhere No One Listening Has Ever Been. It's ESPN Clubhouse Shop.
I can't believe how much talk there was at WDWNT.com about this story.
Like, one of the highest traffic stories we've ever had. It's up there with Club Cool soda flavors.
People arguing about the merits of these.
So I didn't read the part. I didn't read the part yet that has the merits. So the novel concept about it is that depleted batteries can be simply swapped out for fully charged ones at any of these kiosks, rather than guests just throwing them in a nearby waterway as usual. depleted batteries can be swapped out for no added charge after purchase by guests, meaning they'll never actually have to charge one themselves, which is good because they probably won't when they immediately lose the cords included with the battery in an angry mob on the way to Frozen. So guests may also charge or choose a battery on their own. But the novel concept, Nick, is that you can deplete this battery, just walk up to the kiosk and say, I need a new one.
Right.
Give them the depleted one. And that's the novel concept, is that in a park, you don't really have time to recharge that extra battery should you have one. So this is guaranteeing, basically, that you will always have a fresh battery for your phone. I mean, that being said, Magic Kingdom has way more kiosks than the other parks. It's 4-1 in all of those cases. But I think should they roll out more, I think this is really going to change. I mean, we go a lot. We're locals. Right. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, $30 to have a constant battery seems like a pretty good deal. I don't have to remember at home
to recharge it. It has a value. People are arguing that $30 is too much to pay for this because their $15 charger does
the job. It is $10 cheaper at other locations. Apparently, fuel rods available at a lot of other airports.
But you get what you pay for charger-wise. I've definitely learned that, where you could pay $15, $20 for a charger.
The ability to interchange is really what you're paying for. That's the service you're paying.
Exactly. And I think that's a worthy service. You don't have to worry about going home and charging everything all night.
I think it'll be an interesting decision between locals and people visiting on vacation. I think on vacation, $30 is a pretty negligible amount to make sure your phone stays charged. Obviously, people with older phones, they don't stay charged as long.
Right. So that's another
when you get to that point in the life of your phone and you come on vacation, it's probably just a nice service to be offered. You know?
Yeah, I think it'll get used. And these are trying to put these into different parts of the country. You paid the $30 once, and as long as you keep your spent battery. I mean, I know they use these at Comic-Con. That's actually where they debuted a few years ago. That's
now it's at a lot of major airports. Yeah. Like I'm actually I'll be in New York over the weekend. I think I read that it's at LaGuardia.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
So I'm going to try and buy it at LaGuardia and start using it right away. But see, that's a nice thing. If all the airports have it, I mean, that's Walt Disney World alone for us that go a lot is a tremendous value. But having it at other places too, it's a pretty revolutionary idea. It's pretty brilliant. Sorry, we had a real news discussion in the midst of trying to be funny. That never happens. We never try to actually inform anyone of anything. But anyway. With the conclusion of the investigation into the recent alligator attack at Walt Disney World, Disney recently reopened the resort beaches around property at the Grand Floridian Polynesian Yacht and Beach Club, all open to guests with the fences still in place. But the guests, of course, are now free to roam the beaches as they please. But they may have a harder time getting people on the beach than they do getting people into Skipper Canteen.
So.
It's true. I mean, anyway, moving on. Tough room. It's fine. Nick, it's finally happening, apparently.
Yes.
Rumor has it the Vacation Club has run out of deluxe resorts to expand upon, so they're looking at their first moderate resort, which in fact was Walt Disney World's very first moderate resort. A proposed new location at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort would be located at the southern edge, wedged between the existing hotel and Pop Century. Also wedged between those resorts, a lost Brazilian tour group. If they find them during construction, they can just point them towards Victory Way. That'd be great.
That's my favorite joke.
It's unknown when construction might begin on the proposed project. It's still pending final approval at this time, but it is expected to be the very next Disney Vacation Club resort constructed after the new expansion at Wilderness Lodge. The resort to follow this, however, the Villas at the Paddlefish. That will be... It'll be the next one out. You know that was good because Ben actually laughed at that one. That's the first time Ben laughed the whole night.
Oh, my.
Villas at the Paddlefish. Nick, the news, of course, was brought to us by TeePublic, our wonderful partners. Tell everybody about TeePublic. Jason, can we show everybody that new shirt? That brand new shirt, maybe? Jason is going, of course, clicking through the link at WDWNT.com. But, Nick, take it away.
We have a TeePublic link up at WDWNT.com. Great place to do all your t-shirt shopping. Not just t-shirts, but everything. Phone cases and various things like that. Prints and everything. You can head over to WDWNT.com. Click on the big TeePublic link right there on the homepage. You get a shirt like this. The Tom Corliss meme tweets.
By popular demand. People asked for it.
Featuring the orange bird. And look at all the different styles of t-shirts you can get, the long sleeve, the baseball tee, everything you want, different colors.
I like
colors.
That it's Dolphins colors. No, go back to the Dolphins colors.
But of course, yes, an angry-looking orange bird.
Yes.
Tom Corliss Mean Treats was one of
mean
the...
Treats.
Mean Tweets.
I make a mean treat, but that's besides the point.
Was one of the March Tragic teams, of course, when we did our March Tragic tournament.
It was.
And, of course, the winner was Hollywood Studios Hard Hats. Hollywood Studios Hard Hats logo is also available there, as well as our California Bears celebrating the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown as well.
And the website that must not be named.
That is correct. That's a new one. You can get your WDW News Tonight logo tee as well, and plenty of other tees as well. When you click through our link and you purchase any one of those shirts, you help support WDWNT, and we do appreciate that. So go over to WDWNT.com, click on the TeePublic link, and start shopping today. When we get back, Tom, we're going to have our guests here in studio. We have Ben sitting right there. We're going to have Ron Schneider on the line as well. We're going to talk about the further adventures of Walt's Frozen Head.
You got the name right. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
He never gets the name right. We'll be back. And we are back live, WDW News Tonight, AM 1520 WBZW, and at listen.wdwnt.com, and on YouTube, and wherever, apparently.
All over the place, yeah.
Anywhere and everywhere. We're like Fuel Rod, we're just
Technically on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, all those places. If you search WBZW, you can find us there.
We'll be in an exciting new place starting July 8th, but I can't talk about that.
What?
Yeah. Well, oh, you don't even know yet.
How don't I even know?
Well, July 8th. Anyway.
Don't look at me like that.
Yeah, you have no idea. I haven't told you, and I probably won't. So
it's ridiculous.
We have guests.
We do.
We have guests, Nick.
We do. We have some great guests on with us this week. There's a new film being made right now. It's a really, really intriguing title, The Further Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head. We have the director, Benjamin Lancaster, here in the studio. And on the phone with us, we have Ron Snyder, who is going to play an important role in this film. And we'll let these guys discuss exactly what role Ron's going to play. But Ron, I want to welcome you to the show tonight. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
And Ben, I am glad you survived the first half hour here in studio and didn't go run. So
usually people
that,
try to leave by now.
We did. Remember Jeff? He was scared. He was nosily scared. They warmed up, just started making fun of me in the second half of the show.
That's true. He fit right in.
Fit right in. Fit like a glove. So The Further Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head, Benjamin, how did you come up with this? Like, where did you come up with this idea?
I mean, it started as a joke, which I think, you know, a lot of Disney fans have sort of made that joke before. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be making that joke with a bunch of people who also make movies. And sometimes when you make a joke like that, it just absolutely goes nowhere. And other times you start thinking about it and it kind of gets in your craw and you start really thinking, is there more than just the funny title? Because honestly, the title came first. It was always The Further Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head, just because that sounds like a funny title. And so then started working on it, started talking about it with people and really thinking about what is the story that goes with this title. And really, it kind of got built off of that.
So in your research, have you where do you think this myth came from? Where do you have any idea, like, why did this start?
Well, I really think it does have something to do with how people perceived Walt back then and even now as someone who was A, very interested in technology, and B, passes away before he sees his big final dream project come to fruition. Mm. And you sort of have that combination of those two things, along with the fact that the first person who was cryogenically frozen happened about a month after Walt passes, and you sort of have a perfect storm for this urban legend.
All right, and so we have like I said, Ron on the line. Where does Ron come into play as far as this film goes?
Well, Ron is actually playing Walt's frozen head in the film.
Ron, what did you think about when you got this call or got this message saying that you know requesting that you take this role of Walt's frozen head?
Well, I saw the trailer at the Gods and Monsters where they had a screening of the Dark Side of Disney documentary, and the trailer was presented as something that was already in the works. They didn't say anything about not having Walt yet, and I looked at this and I went, "Oh, that's very intriguing. I hope this turns out well." And a bunch of weeks pass, and then I got a. I usually go to sleep like 1:30 at night. My fiance lying next to me, she has to get up at 4:30 to teach. So at 1:30 at night, just as I'm about to turn in, last thing I do is I check my email, and there's an email from Mickey Stein, who is one of our producers, saying that they're interested in me to play Walt's head. And I knew I was not going to sleep for the rest of the night. I was so busy. I was laughing so hard. My fiance woke up. I told her, neither of us slept for the rest of the evening. So I submitted a video audition, and a lot of time passed while they looked around and looked around and looked around. Finally, they got back to me and said, you got the job. And I was delighted, especially after I read the script. Once I read the script, I knew that this was something I wanted to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, what characteristics in Ron's head made you think, that's Walt?
Well, first of all, Ron just really nailed the role right out of the gate. I think that partially came from having been exposed to, you know, Walt's mannerisms, Walt's actions, and, you know, obviously partially just because Ron is a fantastic performer. So those combinations of things really made him the obvious choice.
So
I won't argue with that.
So, Ron, I think it's interesting, Ron, that you saw something about this film before you. So that's good. You at least had exposure to this film before you got the call. Was it an instant, like, yeah, I want to do this?
After they sent me the script, I knew for certain I wanted to do it. I wasn't sure. I mean, there have been a lot of Kickstarter-funded features recently about the playoff of Disney done by fans, yeah. And some have been okay and some have not been so okay, and so I was a little leery going in, but like I say, once I read the script and saw what Ben's vision was and the quality of his writing, then I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of our audience is familiar with Ron's career, but in case they're not, Ron, could you give everyone a quick rundown of your performance history?
Well, I'll make it as quick as possible. I was at Disneyland the day it opened to the public, July 18th, 1955. All my life I wanted to be a performer in theme parks. I worked at Disneyland at the Golden Horseshoe Review under studying Wally Bogue. I worked at Universal Studios as a tour guide on the West Coast. Also was creative manager of a $3 million restaurant out there. I was at Six Flags Magic Mountain on and off through 10 years. Disney brought me out to Florida in 1982. I was the original Dreamfinder at Journey into Imagination. Did a lot of voice work for them. I was on the opening crew of Universal Studios as a writer for the first 3 years and in charge of the celebrity lookalikes. I created and worked at and performed six different themed restaurants across North America. I even wrote for Chuck E. Cheese for 2.5 years. And the last theme park job I had was I was on the opening crew of the Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor. I was there for 2.5 years. So lots of theme parks. I've also worked on the legitimate stage for Orlando Shakespeare, Madcow Theater, Ice House Theater in Mount Dora. So I've been a performer all my life, but with a focus on performing in theme parks.
I have to say, Ron, it's a. I know you probably get this a lot. It's a tiny bit surreal because I do have that picture of a 4-year-old Nick, like standing with you at Figment at Epcot, and it's like one of my most treasured family like vacation photos. So it's really really cool to be talking to you tonight.
Well, thank you.
So, Ben, this film, it's already in production, correct? But I know you have this Kickstarter going. What are you trying to raise funds for at this point? What are you trying to accomplish here?
The Kickstarter is really to raise money for the post-production costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people know this. You assume like you've made the movie and you have all the footage and now it just kind of goes together. Mm-hmm. And what's the problem? Yeah. Why is it taking so long? You know, you shot this thing a year ago. What's the issue? But there's a lot of work that goes in from a lot of different people. You know, for most of our crew, this is just a complete passion project. People giving very generously of their time and their talent. But unfortunately for some things, we have to get other people on board for, some of which are very talented professionals who also come with a little bit of a price tag.
Mm-hmm.
This money isn't going to us. It's really going straight into the production of the film. We're looking at, music. We're hoping to really have an original score. We're hoping that original score is played by live musicians. If our Kickstarter is successful, that becomes a lot more likely. We've got some compositing costs and some color correction and things that just add up. And really, we hope that people can take a look at our Kickstarter, can look at the rewards we're offering, and help us out if they can.
All right.
And you have a great video there as well.
Yes. Which
I think really illustrates where you are in the project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, Ben, Ron, do you mind if any of our callers want to call up with questions, comments for you guys? You mind
not
taking calls?
All. Not at all.
Cool. No, let it go.
Cool. The number's 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. If you want to talk to Ben and Ron about this film or anything else, give us a call tonight. So the Kickstarter, you can find that over at kickstarter.com. Just search for The Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head. You also have the link, I know, at waltsfrozenhead.com.
If you're watching the video show, Jason has it pulled up for everybody so you can see it there.
So there you go. Yeah, that video definitely has a cool, almost kind of, it feels like it kind of has a retro vibe, especially with the titles and title sequences and stuff. Very, very Disney retro vibe. Now, obviously, what we notice about the film and in disclaimers on your website is the part of the film was shot inside the Magic Kingdom.
This is what I want to talk about.
Yeah. So... When was that decision made that you wanted to shoot part of this film inside Walt Disney World?
At first, we looked at like a way to fake this, right? Like, okay, can we fake part of Adventureland by just using some tropical backgrounds? Can we fake parts here and there? And at the end of the day, it just came out that if you're going to tell the story about Walt, who's never seen the Magic Kingdom, the story's got to be about taking Walt to the Magic Kingdom. And then, of course, you just have to shoot in the Magic Kingdom. So it, in some ways, it unlike, you know, Escape from Tomorrow or other films, it's not a story that's just set there. It's a story that's about the place itself, too. You know, so it's a story about people trying to get Walt in to the location. So it's sort of funny that a lot of our challenges are also the challenges that are faced by the characters trying to get Walt in.
What did security think when they opened up your bags and saw a head in there? Or is that special effects? Is that movie magic?
I'll let you in on a secret. The bag that Walt is carried around in for the majority of the film was carrying water bottles that entire time.
All right.
Sometimes it's really hard to get water bottles in. I'm impressed you got that part.
Well, that's really cool. So this is something, so you made that decision. So once you made that decision that we wanted to do that, I mean, was that like if you couldn't get that done, would you think you would have still made the film or you know, was that a thing you had to get done?
We had a very intricate shooting plan laid out, and we had everything done in priority order, and we had scouts that were actually taking data cards out with them, and basically, everything was timed out so that if something went wrong, we had exactly what we needed to potentially complete the film and really start cheating things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of knew that if we finish day one and we're in the clear after day one, we can make this movie. Okay,
gotcha.
If we finish day two, we can make the... So it was really... that was the plan going in. That caused some headaches through production, obviously, because... Mm-hmm. We just had to shoot what we had to shoot based on what we know we needed to show. There was sort of a long color-coded document that was shared between us and a very lengthy plan that we used to go through that process.
But how many hours of filming would you say took place inside the gate?
We shot on Disney property for about 4 days. So probably about 8 to 10 hour days.
Wow.
For that. So
yeah.
it was significant.
You run into any problems with Disney?
We had a few close calls, mostly security guards who were taking just a bit too much interest. What we typically did was pack up, move on to some other location and come back. That occasionally caused lighting issues.
I was going to say, just usually carrying a little binaural microphone, I get questioned by Disney security sometimes, so I can't imagine trying to film a movie in the park and not getting someone's attention.
The dramatic scenes were the most difficult. Like when the characters are all happy and going into the park, you know, you don't notice when...
Although that's a little out of character for Disney World, isn't it? Usually people are miserable trying to book fast passes, you know.
Well, maybe we should have shot the characters arguing with each other in the middle of the day. So
there you go.
Fit right in. So...
So the film right now, you're still looking to raise some money. We definitely want some people to go check this out. We need this film support. This is a really funny, amazing concept. Would you say? I mean, is it? You know, obviously the title is humorous. I haven't seen it anywhere. Is it a drama? Is it a comedy? What are we going for here?
I really am basing this film off the live action comedies that Disney made in like the 1960s.
Blackbeard's Ghost.
Exactly. Blackbeard's Ghost would be a perfect example.
Not a bad example, not at all.
That's my favorite of all of them. Yeah, I just think so perfect. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Ron, are you okay being compared to Sir Peter Ustinov there?
Oh, definitely. It's like that. It's very much like that film. It's a buddy comedy with one average guy and one outrageous character who complicates his life. Yeah.
Very cool. We do have a caller calling into right now, 407-774-8255, if you want to get in with your comments or questions for Ron or Ben. We have Caden who had a comment for Ron. Go ahead, Caden.
Hi. I was just wondering, so I did not know who the Dreamfinder was until very recently when my friend explained it to me. Have you ever introduced yourself as the Dreamfinder and had people go, what the heck is a Dreamfinder?
More and more lately, yes.
That's a shame.
I actually left after the first 5 years at Epcot Center. I was there from 82 to 87. There's another fellow, Steve Taylor, who was there for 15 years. But because I did part of the voice in the ride and because of the book I wrote and the D23 event in 2011, I've become rather renowned. In 2007, we were celebrating the 25th anniversary of Epcot, and I was just walking through the park in regular clothes, and people were stopping me and saying, it's the Dreamfinder, and posing for pictures. But in the years since, more and more people that I've met, I have no idea who Dreamfinder was. They know who Figment is, but they don't remember the Dreamfinder. Yeah.
Part of me just died.
Yeah, right? A little bit sad.
I was explaining who Ron was to a few of our crew members who are mostly UCF students and started with the line, did you ever go to Epcot in the 80s? And they just laughed at me because they weren't born yet.
They weren't
born yet, yeah.
Wow.
So what kind of memories do you look back on that time at Epcot with Ron? I mean, are they Dreamfinders that fond memory for you in your career?
Oh gosh, yes! It was an amazing opportunity since I was the first, I got to write the book. I got to create how the character was going to be portrayed, and since there was no Mickey, Donald, or Goofy in the park, there were no Disney characters as such at Epcot Center. Figment and I were the figureheads for all of Epcot Center. It was quite a responsibility and a lot of fun, and I have lots of wonderful memories. I met a lot of very famous people and touched a lot of lives. It was wonderful.
Well, that's good because, you know, you kind of worry a little bit because, I mean, people like Tom and I look back at that time with such fondness, and then, you know, there's a little bit of nervousness to where, you know, someone like yourself would be like, get over it. You know, it was, you know, come on. it was good, but you're looking back.
I would dare say we're not over it yet.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, what do you think about all these nostalgic, fanboys that, look back to the 80s? No, seriously, like we hold the Dreamfinder up to this high level. Do you sometimes, do you appreciate that or do you, you know, is it like a, get over it?
Very, very much so. You'll find that the people who, portray characters in the park, you don't get paid a great deal of money, and you're working under extremely uncomfortable conditions in ridiculous outfits and anonymously. And so why else would you do it if you didn't love it?
No.
The only part of looking back on Dreamfinder that I get tired of are the people saying that Dreamfinder should be brought back. Because of the terrible job they did bringing Figment back. They really made the character more of a pest than he ever was. And so I'm very scared that they would ever try to bring Dreamfinder back, although I do not think it's at all likely.
So you don't trust them to bring it back in the correct way. Would that be correct?
I'm open to anything the company does because my experience with them over the past 40 years is half the time they get it right, half the time they blow it. And so there's always a half a chance. I mean, look at the Frozen ride. Everybody was predicting the Frozen ride was going to be a disaster, and the Frozen ride is a home run. My faith is always in the company, and I'm always waiting to see them, what they can do. And I try not to prejudge things before they do them.
But you would side with just let it live in our memories and don't bring it back.
Actually, no. My feeling is that the message that was given, put across in the pavilion, is one that is central to Epcot Center, even today, and deserves to be there. But it needs to be told with the quality of storytelling and the care that Tony Baxter and his team put into it back in the 80s. It needs to be updated. It needs to make better use of the technologies of the day. But the idea that imagination is something that belongs to all of us and speaking objectively and quantitatively about the creative process is something that very much belongs in Epcot Center. I'd love to see them do something with it.
A side note, I just got chills hearing the Dreamfinder talk about imagination.
So let me say that. So obviously, you know, Ron kind of has the pedigree to be involved in this project. I mean, you've hired someone that in the realm of Disney is, you know, beloved. And how important was that in casting Walt? Were you specifically looking for someone that just embodied that spirit?
Yes and no. I mean, our primary objective is to cast someone who is going to give an excellent performance as Walt.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just gravy. Yeah. You know, but...
Do you think it helps to have someone who has an appreciation and understanding of the history of the company?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think that goes into someone who can perform Walt, to be quite honest. You know, you're someone who has that level of background knowledge to understand the role, to understand the hidden jokes, that to understand sort of the references and all of that. But the fact that Ron also has the status in the community, I think sort of hopefully lends us a little credence with some of the fans who might be a little on the edge about the film itself.
I will say I saw Ron updated his Facebook profile to him as Walt, and I was really stunned how much he looks like Walt at that, at least like 1966.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really taken aback.
Yeah, and you can see those photos. There's a blog post on Orlando Weekly right now that has a bunch of photos of him in makeup while we're shooting, and you can definitely check those out.
Ron, what has it been like to play Walt Disney, or his frozen head at least?
Chilling. I knew I could get you with that. That's just kind of humor.
Yeah. It's true.
A wonderful makeup lady, Melissa, comes in, and she spends about an hour and 15 minutes working on me. We got to bring my hairline a little bit forward, and she does a wonderful job taking what I naturally look like and making it look a hell of a lot more like Walt. I definitely feel the responsibility to make him a real person. There's a lot of comedy in the film, but it's also quite touching. And I especially enjoy playing, sharing Walt in a more reflective mood and in a more human situation. Kind of taking him off of his pedestal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of jibes at the character or at the company. It's done with a lot of love and a lot of respect.
Okay.
So looking ahead, Ben, you know, you still need to do the post production and everything. When are you shooting for to possibly have this released? And what are the plans for release? Is it just a digital medium, film festivals?
We're really hoping for a film festival run in 2017. That really would be our goal, that throughout the year it plays several film festivals in different major metropolitan areas, so that a lot of the fans out there can go and see it. Obviously, we're looking for one in Orlando. Obviously, we're looking for one in L.A., in that area. But, you know, we've got a sort of a film festival chart with their deadlines and everything, and that's really what we're shooting for.
Okay.
We are having a screening for our Kickstarter backers who back us at a certain level. They can get an invitation to that screening, and we are really aiming for December of this year to hold that. That is something that we are really working very hard towards, and a goal that we really believe that we can meet.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up with Kickstarter. I was kind of shuffling through there. You have a few different perks. Can you go over some of the different perks you have?
Oh, I mean, we're giving away some just swag from the film. If you donate at a sort of the lowest level, which is about $7, hey, we'll take anything lower, but
at
$7, you get your name in the credits. You actually get to choose your own credit. You can write a credit for the film. We've had people throw in ridiculous jokes like their Cosmic Rays entertainment booker.
Oh, nice.
You know, Phoenician number two.
Oh, man.
Just people coming up with very creative titles for themselves. You know, and if you donate a little bit more, we've got T-shirts. We've got Tervis Tumblr, or sorry, Orbit Tumblrs. Yeah, I know. there was a bulk discount price for.
I think those are the Disney Resort ones. They all have it's the Orbit.
We're also, you know, at $19 you can pre-order the film, a digital copy of it.
Oh, cool.
And I know people are asking, like, why would I pay $19 now when I can probably purchase the digital copy when it comes out? First of all, you'll get it sooner. If you pre-order it now, you'll get it before we start selling it on the marketplace. But the other reason is that $19 will actually help us finish
now. You play a role.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
The film, I can tell you, that film will be $19 better because you did it now. We can buy a sound effect. We can, you know, pay for another... 5 minutes in a studio, whatever we need, that $19 goes a long way for us.
And tomorrow night, Ben, you're having a crowdfunding party in Orlando, correct?
Yes. You do not have to be a backer to attend. Obviously, we want all our backers to attend, but you do not have to be a backer. We are taking over the lounge area of Gods and Monsters. We're there 6:30 to 9, but at 7:30, we are showing some clips, doing a Q&A. And just talking a little bit more about the movie. So come shake our hands. Ron will be there. Daniel Cooksley, who's playing Peter, will be there. I'll be there. A few more of our cast members, a bunch of our crew members. So come out and join us.
And that's a cool store to begin with.
Oh, it is.
Gods and Monsters, such a giant space too. It's unbelievable.
It's really fantastic. Yeah.
And that's in the Artagon Mall.
Formerly Festival Bay.
Yeah.
I know some people maybe haven't heard about it since it was Festival Bay, so just to be sure everybody knows.
Well, that's really cool. Really cool. I really hope people get out there and contribute to this film. We have Ron here, but I was looking at your cast list. I mean, you have a cast stocked with really accomplished actors in there.
Yeah, we held open auditions for the majority of the casting, and we're just really surprised at the level of talent that exists in this town. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. We didn't tell them the movie they were auditioning for when they auditioned.
You actually filmed under a secret name, didn't you?
Yeah, we called the film The Florida Project.
Oh.
Which might have been a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah.
But, so we write fake sides, so we have everybody audition, we bring everyone in on the read-through, and we hand out the script, and we say, okay, they all signed NDAs, this was before we had done the shooting in the park. Mm. All right, open up the script, page one, The Further Adventures of Walt's Frozen Head, and the entire table just cracks up. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, also, one thing I noticed is the Twitter handle... at Walt's Frozen Head. Have you checked this out, Tom?
I have not yet.
It is absolutely hilarious.
Jason's going to have to pull that up for everybody.
You can check that out. So if you follow at Walt's Frozen Head, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if you follow...
No O in Frozen.
Yeah, F-R-Z-E-N.
Okay, yes. And if you follow that, you get the you get tweets directly from Walt's Frozen Head. So he likes to talk. He likes to make commentary about the about Disney as it is today. And I noticed him talk a lot about the Frozen attraction.
And as I watched my girls ride the carousel, I thought this would be so much better if we scheduled the ride time months in advance.
That was my favorite.
It's good.
Point out that I take no credit for these posts. That's entirely Ben's doing.
That's wonderful.
Definitely worth following. Like I said, during the Frozen opening, Walt's Frozen Head went crazy. Is that the kind of humor and quips that we might expect in the film?
I would say so. The Twitter account was called Rather Snarky by the Orlando Sentinel.
Oh.
I'm not sure we're quite as snarky in the movie. But I think it really is that tone, that humor, and hopefully that respect for the character or the person, I should say.
Yeah. Now, what does Walt's Frozen Head think of modern Disney?
Ooh.
Well, if you're asking me,
yeah,
I think that Walt would tend to see past the petty annoyances that have cropped up through the decades as the company tries to deal with their extreme success, and look past that to the ultimate question of, are they accomplishing what I set out for them to do? And I think when he looks at it, he sees that people are still enjoying themselves together, families are still enjoying themselves together, although probably he can't understand why everybody's walking around looking at their phones.
or what everybody's holding for that matter, probably.
So, Ben, are we going to get a little bit of an insight and understanding? I'm assuming that the film is set in modern day.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah, it looked like it. And so are we going to get a little bit of an insight into what the filmmakers think Walt would be thinking about the park?
I'll tell you that I think his reaction in the film is not entirely, but primarily personal. You know, that while we might be looking for commentary on, you know, the hub renovation, the reaction that we have in the film is about what he as a person who has gone through this process is going to how that person is going to react.
It's more than anything Ben has called it a buddy comedy. Mm-hmm. It's about the relationship between these I can't say two men, this man and this head. And
that's also on OBT usually, I believe.
Ever since I got this job, I have resisted making that exact joke.
Wow.
And I knew that you were going to go there.
Yeah.
So now it's out. It's been
there. You go.
Thank you, everybody. We can all go home. It's more of a buddy comedy. It's more of a personal thing, and it's a story about the thing that I've compared it to is a Frank Capra movie, and that there's a real message, there's a real lesson here that the central character of Peter and Walt and the company learns through this experience that makes it stand up as a real good film and not just a series of jokes.
All right, so it's a buddy comedy. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have that deep. It's not a deep commentary about the state of the parks today. Yet, fanboys will, of course, read that into it. We all know that. So,
there's some things in there that they'll get a real kick out of. Yeah.
All right, Ron and Ben, definitely stay in touch. We'll talk to you guys as the film progresses. Ron, definitely thank you for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you as Walt's head.
My pleasure.
All right, then Ben has already said he's going to stick around with us tonight.
You're trapped. So. You don't have a choice.
he is.
Why did I just hear the locks click?
We actually put a fence up also.
All right, so head over to, we'll remind you again later, but I'll of course head over to waltzfrozenhead.com.
And Kickstarter.
Yeah. Link is right on there.
Yeah, mostly the Kickstarter. Yeah.
Mostly the Kickstarter.
Get there, give money, help this film be as amazing as it should be. We'll be back with hour two of WDW News Tonight in just a moment when we play The Family Feud.
Even keep a squeak. All the thoughts he ever spoke appear in orange smoke. That's what makes the orange bird unique.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WPZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic.
Hey, it's that theme song we never play. Anyway, welcome back to WDW News Tonight, Hour 2. Now on the air live, AM 1520 WBZW, listen.wdwnt.com, and on YouTube. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Another record audience. Very happy to have you aboard. Let me talk about what's coming up next week on the show, July 6th. We're bringing back the really stupid map game. That's right. It's a thing where we literally break up a map.
The map
and you
game?
Not math. Not the math game. The map game where you just pick squares. I know everybody loved it. So we're going to do that again next week with prizes from Theme Park Connection. Next week, we're also going to have a review. It didn't fit in this week. Frontera Cocina, the new restaurant at Disney Springs. We're going to have the review of that. And as well, the new Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar menu, which Tom is very, very angry about. Talk about that next week as well. And our main discussion topic we're going to finally get to. I know we put this off for a while as a lot of major news happened here in Orlando. Getting drunk at Walt Disney World next week. We're going to talk about all the lounges, bars, all that fun stuff next week. And one more thing we had to talk about. We're going to have a special broadcast here. It's going to be here on AM 1520 WBZW. It's going to be on Listen. WDWNT.com and also on YouTube. I think we're going to do this. This Google Hangout thing seems to work pretty well, so we're going to keep going with it. Our annual tradition, WDWNT's 9th Anniversary Spectacular, July 8th. That's going to be from 9 p.m. to midnight. So a three-hour show. Special segments, we're going to have WDWNT, the match game, not math.
Math game again?
Match
Two
game.
2 weeks in a row?
All-star panel on the match game. We have a lot of really big announcements to make and much, much more. Always fun, those anniversary shows. And this one, the biggest. We have easily the biggest announcements we've had ever.
Wow.
And I haven't even told you yet. That's the best part. Anyway. So next week's show, we have two shows next week. WDW News Tonight, regular time, Wednesday, July 6th, and then July 8th. We are here for 3 hours. And thanks to WBZW for letting us do that. It's very cool.
Very cool here.
But Nick, who brings us WDW News Tonight?
Well, of course, we're brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel, an authorized Disney vacation planner, always ready to assist you in making your next trip to Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, get a free... so I messed up a word there. Get
Just
a free
keep
dining
going.
Plan when you buy a package that includes a room at select Walt Disney World Resort Hotel and ticket for arrivals most nights, August 23rd through December 21st, 2016, when you book by July 8th. The number of rooms available is limited, so be sure to act fast. For more information, of course, go to magicaltravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. So, Tom, when we get
Are we
back,
taking a break?
Yeah, we're taking...
Okay.
I thought we were taking a small break.
You can take a short, if you need
really
it.
Sure. Short break. When we get back, Tom, we're going to play the Family Feud. We'll bring our contestants on. You'll go over the rules with them, and we'll get going. And they're playing for some wonderful prizes from Theme Park Connection.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better...
What is this, the end of the podcast? What are you doing to me here? That's going to do it for episode... Blah, 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 never mind. Remember when the podcast existed?
I do. Those were the days.
I just released a show last week. Everybody calm down.
Wow, another no one's show. Saying anything.
No one... Not yet. There's a bit of a delay, I'm sure. There's going to be nasty podcast comments. Give them a second. But there's no time for that, Nick, because it's time to play a feud! People, come on down. I don't have the names.
That would help.
That would have been great. We're going to wait for Nick to give me the names of people on the show. Let's see. We've got... He's typing them. Rachel, Matthew, and Terry, come on down.
It's not The Price is Right.
I don't know. It's not. Didn't they do Come On Down on Family Feud 2?
I don't know. I don't think
they used to like sit in the room in the back, and then like it was a fake family portrait, and then they'd come out of the portrait. I'm talking like 80s Family Feud.
All right, I'll give you that. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe. But you want to say hi to our first few contestants here?
Yes, Rachel, Matthew, and Terry. Hello.
Punch them up.
You have to pull them up.
All right. So Rachel, how you doing tonight? Rachel.
Hello?
Yeah, there we go. A little bit of buzz there. So Rachel, you know, Rachel was a contestant who signed up to play, and so did her sister, and they asked that they be together on the same team, and I said, no!
Because we're evil.
You will be split up. So Rachel's sister, Rebecca, will be on the other team. So Rachel, where are you calling to us from tonight?
I'm from Allen, Texas, which is about 45 minutes from Dallas.
All right, very good. So Texas, there we go. And then we have Matthew on as well. Good evening, Matthew.
Hello.
Hey, Matthew, where are you calling us from tonight?
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York.
All right. So you have Texas, New York. Now let's find out where Terry is from. Good evening, Terry.
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
That's just 45 minutes away.
Look at that. You could drive over to Rachel's house.
Yes. But wait, we'll just take a commercial.
There we go.
A commercial.
All right, there we go. No, so all right, so guys, now you have this is your first team effort here. You have about 10 seconds to come over the team name.
Oh gosh.
The oh gosh.
That's it. It's in the oh gosh.
Oh gosh.
The oh gosh family.
It's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters. The first thing that pops in your head, that's what the name becomes. So there you go. All right,
we're gonna traveler has come.
We're gonna get you guys on hold. We'll introduce the next team, then we'll go over the rules in just a moment. All right, Tom, this next team consists of Rebecca, who, as we mentioned, is Rachel's sister. Now, Rebecca, are you in the same state as your sister?
Yes, I'm sitting on the same couch with her.
On the same couch? Uh-oh.
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is. All right, very good. And then we have Pete as well. Pete, where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, I'm Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, that's right. That's right. I may have picked this guy because he's from Beantown.
No, you did.
And then we have Brent in with us tonight. Brent, where are you calling from?
Gainesville, Florida.
Very good. So Florida, Boston, and Texas represented here. Very good. So, guys, you guys, now you have a little bit of time to think about it. I need a team name from you guys. Go.
Walt's Frozen Head.
All right, they're trying to suck up to the filmmaker here. All right, they might have to get invited to premiere if they win.
Or donate.
There we go.
Don't give them anything for free. Rule number one.
Hey, I've got some cryogenic awareness bracelets. I will mail each of you one, whichever winning team.
Look at that, including the prize pack.
Very cool.
Now, I'm going to put Tom on the spot here. Do we know what theme park connections offering us tonight?
No.
No, okay, so you're going to have to dive into the archives.
Because I will build three identical prize packs for our three winners.
Very, very cool. Very cool. That is awesome. So, Tom, you are better at this. I'm going to let you go over the quick synopsis of the rules of how we play Family Feud here on the radio.
Well, if you've ever watched the Family Feud, which I hope you have at some point, otherwise the rest of the evening is going to be very difficult for you. The Family Feud, the idea is we polled 100 WDWNT.com readers. And those readers were asked questions, and they had to respond, and the most popular answers are on the board. So what you have to do as a team is guess what's on the board. We're going to give you the top however many answers. Before, Nick, we go into any question, I'll say top five answers on the board or top three answers on the board.
Yep.
You have to guess what's up there. You have three strikes in which to do it, provided it is your turn. If you get three strikes, the other team gets a chance to steal. If they are correct, they get all the points. If they're wrong, you get your points anyway. Of course, if you sweep the board, the points are yours. That's what you kind of have to try and do initially. That sounds about right. Am I missing something?
Yeah, well...
We're going to do the fastest... whatever that's called. Fastest finger, that's millionaire.
Right, well, instead of doing the thing where you got to bunch in the fastest, we selected you by the time stamp on the email that you sent in and sent us up. So that's how I set you up here on the boards as well. So on Rachel's team, it'll be Rachel, Matthew, and then Terry in order, and then Rebecca, Pete, and Brent, in your order, and we'll let you know when we pair you guys up who goes first. The other thing is we're going to have you all on at the same time, so when it's a single person's turn to answer, your entire team is on, but you can't confer with your team, right? That's unless it's a steal, then you can confer with your team.
Yes,
correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. Can they help the other person at all?
When it's time to steal, yeah.
Just when it's time to steal. That's
yeah,
what
otherwise
I mean, right.
They got to come up with their own answer.
Yeah, so unless it's your turn, everybody be quiet so you don't, you know, because we can't confer with your teammates. And that's about it.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring on our first contestants. So we have Rachel and Rebecca.
The sisters.
The sisters. Yeah.
I love that they're going to face off at that. This is my favorite thing we've ever done.
While they're sitting on the couch together.
While they're sitting on the couch together.
Rachel's email came in just a hair in front of Rebecca's. So Rachel will get the first chance at this. That's how we're doing. Basically, she buzzed in first, basically, right?
Okay. Correct.
All right. So go ahead, Tom, with the first question.
All right. So who's taking this first again?
This would be Rachel.
Rachel, you're going to get to go first. If you give me the number one answer, you will get to pick pass or play for your team. Otherwise, your sister is going to get a chance to take control of the board. Name a landmark visited in Soarin' around the world.
The Great Wall of China.
Let me see the Great Wall of China. It is indeed the number one answer on the board that has that got 30 votes.
Nice.
Pretty impressive. So you guys want to pass or play?
Let's play.
All right, they're going to play the feud, Nick.
All right, very good.
Okay. Who's next in my order?
All right, it's going to be Matthew.
Matthew! You're going to give me a landmark you visit in Soarin' Around the World, the new Epcot and California Adventure attraction.
The Taj Mahal.
Let me see the Taj Mahal. It's our number five answer on the board, worth 8 points. So we have number one, Great Wall of China, with 30, and number five, the Taj Mahal, already gone. Next up, Nick.
All right, next up is Terry.
Terry, you're going to give me a landmark visited in Soarin' Around the World. You still have all three strikes.
The Matterhorn in Switzerland.
The Matterhorn in Switzerland. That's the number two answer on the board, worth 16 points.
They're getting this one pretty good. All right, we're going back to Rachel.
Back to Rachel. Give me a landmark you visit in Soarin' Around the World. There's two left up there. Number three.
The Sydney Opera House.
The Sydney Opera House. That is not up there. It's strike number one.
All right, now we'll bring Matthew back up.
Matthew, give me one of those landmarks.
The pyramids.
Let me see pyramids. Wrong game show.
All right, it's all on Terry with two strikes.
Terry, there's one strike left. Walt's frozen head might get the chance to steal.
In Arizona, I can't remember what it is, but it's in Arizona.
Let me see that thing in Arizona. No, the thing in Arizona is not up there. Walt's frozen head. You got a chance to steal here. You can quickly confer between each other.
I know that it ends at Disney World.
I'd say the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I think the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
You guys want to do Eiffel Tower?
I know for a fact Disney World is in it. I don't know if that counts as a landmark, but
if that counts, go, yeah.
Are we going with, we're looking for a landmark, so I'm not sure we need something more specific than Disney World, if anything.
Spaceship Earth is the landmark.
You want to go with Spaceship Earth? Are we going with Spaceship Earth or Eiffel Tower?
Pick one.
Maybe we should go with Eiffel Tower.
I'll just wait.
Go decide.
Eiffel Tower, final answer.
Eiffel Tower.
All right, Eiffel Tower.
Let me see for the steal. Eiffel Tower. Number three answer on the board. Walt's frozen head will get the points. Nick, let me see. What was number four?
All right.
On our imaginary invisible board. Epcot, which isn't a landmark. It's a park, but we'll take it. We would have taken Spaceship Earth also on that one. So, yeah, it was Great Wall of China, Matterhorn, Eiffel Tower, Epcot, Taj Mahal. Up there. So, Nick, we're going to do a quick point tally.
All right, 66 points.
66 points for Walt's frozen head.
Excellent job.
Okay. Let's quickly move on to our next question.
All right.
Who do we have facing off here, Nick?
Well, let's see. Now we have Matthew facing off against Pete.
Matthew and Pete. All right, Matthew's going first.
No, actually, Pete's email came in just a little bit sooner. So, Pete will go off against Matthew. Pete will take the first one.
Pete. For control of the board, name an item you have lost while visiting Walt Disney World.
Sunglasses.
Let me see sunglasses. Number one answer on the board, 24 points. So pass or play?
We will play.
You're going to play the feud, Nick. Who do we got up?
All right. So now we would, well, this is our first time playing. So Pete went, so I guess we go to Brent. Brent would be the next one up.
All right, Brent, give me an item you have lost while visiting Walt Disney World. We pulled 100 WWNT.com readers.
A camera.
Let me see camera. Number three answer on the board, just 6 points for that one, but you need them all.
All right, very good. All right, now we're going to Rebecca.
Rebecca, give me an item you've lost at Walt Disney World.
A hat.
Let me see hat. Hat, number two answer on the board, worth 21 points.
Doing very good. Got one, two, and three. No strikes. Here's Pete.
All right, Pete, give me an item.
Tickets. Passes.
Tickets or passes? Nope. Although people probably do.
One strike on the board, and Brent's up.
Two strikes left, Brent. Give me an item you've lost at Walt Disney World.
Your cell phone.
Let me see cell phone. Number four answer on the board with 4 votes.
All right, we're back to Rebecca.
All right, Rebecca, something you lost at Walt Disney World.
How about a water bottle?
A water bottle.
No.
Strike two.
All right.
Those are irreplaceable water bottles.
Yes. One strike pizza. Left. We've got, how many we got left on the board?
We got two left on the board.
Two left on the board.
Two strikes down. It's all up to Pete.
Also, your wallet?
Your wallet? My wallet's gone.
No, nope, it's not. It's not.
The other, oh gosh. Right? It's oh gosh.
We're it is oh gosh.
To, oh gosh. You got a chance to steal here. Quickly confer. What are we doing?
Does Mickey ears count as a hat?
I'm going to say yes. Yeah, we're going to put that under hat.
I did.
What about keys?
What about a purse? Oh, purse is a good one. Let's see.
It's riveting radio right now, by the way.
I need
a team answer. What do we got? What are we going with?
You guys want to go with purse, or do you want to go with something more specific, like a credit card or money?
Well, they said wallet already.
Yeah, credit card or money's going to fall under wallet. I'm going to need an answer.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
What about like car keys or something?
Sure, let's go with car keys.
Keys? Let me see if the keys are up there. Well, the dog had them. Anyway. Points are going to... It's terrible. Points are going to Walt's frozen head.
Yes.
Yes. How many points they got, Nick?
57 points go to Walt's frozen head, so I'll add that together.
Commanding lead. All right, Nick, let me see.
No, math's not my strong point. 123 points for Walt's frozen head. So
let's
far.
See what else was up there. What are we missing? We're missing number five. Temper! People have lost their temper.
Yes.
That's worth two. Let me see number six. Hope for original Epcot Center to return with one. Somebody best. Said it, so it's up there. Anyway, all right. Who's coming up, Nick?
All right, we're bringing up Terry and Brent.
And Brent.
Terry sent in her email first. So, Terry is up first.
All right, Terry.
Yes.
Control the board. Name a food on a stick you can buy at a Disney theme park.
Mickey's Premium Ice Cream Bar.
Let me see the infamous Mickey Premium Ice Cream Bar with its 24 grams of saturated fat. There it is. It's number two on the board, though, with 36, so there is a chance to take control of the board here.
All right, so Brent has a chance here.
Yeah, Brent, I need an answer. You got to beat Mickey Ice Cream Bar.
I'm going to go with turkey leg.
Turkey, you know it's on a bone, right?
I don't know if voted for the Mickey's ice cream bar.
Maybe that qualifies as a stick. Let's see. Is turkey leg on a stick? No, it's a bone. Don't be ridiculous. All right. Anyway, so who's I'm completely lost.
It's
who's,
Rachel's up. Rachel's up now.
Okay.
Yep. Rachel's to the. So here we go, Rachel.
So Rachel, I need food on a stick, not a bone. That you can buy at a Disney theme park.
A caramel apple?
A caramel apple. It is our number five answer with just two, but most difficult one off the board. There you go. So we got
Matthew.
We got three left. Food on a stick, Matthew. You can buy at a Disney theme park.
Corn dog.
Let me see corn dog. That is a stick and not a bone. It's our number one
certainly
answer.
Is.
Corn dog with 40 points.
Although there was, I will have to. It didn't make top five, but someone did say turkey leg.
Someone
in our
said
poll.
Turkey leg, yeah, so I'll stop making jokes.
You should.
I was wrong. Somebody did say turkey.
It's a type of stick. What are sticks made of? Wood. What are bones made of?
Not wood.
Not wood.
This is why you work in radio.
All right.
Anyway.
Terry, I don't know where I was
bones
going with that.
Are made of wood. Yes, as we learned
it could
in
be a
Pinocchio,
type of stick.
A Disney classic. Jeez. Give up with the show. What? How many are left? I don't know. Where are we in this game?
Terry's up.
Terry, yes. Give me, please, a reasonable food item on a stick.
Sausage.
Let me see. Sausage on a stick. No sausage on a stick.
Strike two. Wait, one.
Is there anywhere you can get sausage
strike
on a
one.
Stick at the parks? The one at Harambe isn't on a stick.
No.
So who are we going with? Who are we up to?
We're back to Rachel.
Rachel, give me a food on a stick, please.
Is a popsicle, like ice cream popsicle? I don't know if that goes under Mickey Bar.
Let's see. Do you see popsicle?
We got it.
Popsicle, nice. Number 3 with 10 points.
All right.
So we've got corn dog at 40, ice cream bar, number 2. Number 3 was popsicle. Number 5, caramel apple. We're looking for that number 4 answer.
Now, lots of points here for you guys. You guys can get on your way to catching up. It's Matthew's turn. What do you think?
Food on a stick. No idea. Corn dog was my good answer there.
By the way, the chat is demanding for the return of the corn dog king. Up corn dogs.
Anyway. All right, need an answer.
I have no idea.
Let me see. No idea.
All right, 2 strikes.
Better
down.
Answer than turkey leg.
Terry, let's see if you could grab this board for your team.
A Rice Krispie treat on a stick.
A Rice Krispie treat on a stick. Nope. All right. Jumping over to the other team.
Walt's frozen head has a chance to steal.
What do you guys think?
I love the big lollipops from the Main Street Bakery.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Let me see. Lollipop. Lollipop's up there. Walt's frozen head again. That's the whole board.
Yeah,
corn dog, ice cream bar, popsicle, lollipop.
Certainly is.
So, Nick, we got to make this interesting because we have one left. We got to find out the score first.
229-0. Well,
all right. Well,
in.
There's only one way to possibly even this game out, and that's to make this one worth
triple
the points.
Triple points.
That means just one strike. You get just one strike per team. This is the final round.
Can
for
they
the
confer?
Game. On the steal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So here we go. This is the final one. It's one strike. If you were on. Oh, who's playing?
It's all up to the sisters.
Are the sisters. Here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah. So since we let Rachel go first the first time, we're going to let Rebecca go first this time.
So, Rebecca, for control of the board, if you were on a first date, what attraction at the Magic Kingdom would you take your date on?
The Haunted Mansion.
Way to make it suspenseful. Number one answer on the board. Number 20
Yay.
Or 26 points for that one. So you guys going to pass or play?
I'm not happy about this.
What was that?
I'm staring at my sister and not very happily right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she's not happy.
Are you going to pass or play?
We're going to play.
They're going to play. All right. Who's up, Nick?
Well, that will be Pete.
Pete, there's only one strike, so play carefully. The top 5 answers are on the board. We have Haunted Mansion up there already. If you're on a first date, what attraction at the Magic Kingdom would you take your date on?
Small World.
Let me see. It's a Small World. I guess size does matter. So we're going to go. That was so inappropriate. The other team.
Rachel, Matthew, and Terry on now. Now, this is for a steal, so you guys can confer, and you just have to get one of these items here.
And otherwise, the other team gets it.
Okay, I'm thinking either Peter Pan's Flight or Dumbo.
First date attractions.
I was thinking Seven Dwarfs, but you're probably right. Something much quieter. So maybe it's Peter Pan.
Is everybody agreeing on an answer?
I'd agree with Peter Pan.
Okay, we're going to go with Peter Pan then, I guess.
All right, Nick. Let me see Peter Pan's Flight. It is not up there.
Mm.
Yeah. So let me see the rest of the board. Let me see number 2. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Very romantic.
Number 3. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirate shooting over you.
Number 4?
Just assuming your date's a redhead, I guess.
Splash Mountain.
So you want to get your date wet?
You want to dive into the briar patch, yeah.
Number five, the People Mover. Because what occasion isn't perfect for the People Mover?
Goes through dark tunnels, long periods in dark tunnels. Who knows what goes on in there?
Ask someone that works there what goes on in there. They'll tell you.
That was my first impression for first date at the Magic
Kingdom. People Mover?
Yeah, I don't know why that's not number one.
Yeah. You would think. Haunted Mansion's dark too, though.
It's true.
Here we go. So Nick, what's our point?
Well, Walt's Frozen had over 300 points. Yes. Oh gosh, at zero.
Oh gosh.
Ooh. Oh gosh.
I was rooting for them the whole time. The Walt's Frozen Head.
But I tell you what, we're gonna send something to Oh Gosh.
Hey, we have you guys on the air now. Thank you very much for playing, Rachel, Matthew, and Terry.
They get a consolation prize.
You'll get a consolation prize. So I'll be contacting you, and we'll get out the nice prize from the theme park connection to you guys. So thank you for playing.
Thank you. Thanks,
guys.
All right, now let's bring on the winning team real quick.
Our winning family.
Walt's Frozen Head, Rebecca, Pete, and Brent. Now, Pete and Brent, you know, you guys were playing, you know, to win some prizes from Theme Park Connection. But Rebecca, you were playing for Family Pride right here. What's the
It really
mood?
Was a family feud.
What is the mood on the couch right now?
Oh, jeez.
She's staring at me in contempt. I'm kind of afraid.
All right. Well, when you get your package from Theme Park Connection, though, it's some prizes in there. Maybe you could share.
Yes, yes.
Did you guys share well as sisters growing up?
Oh, maybe not.
No. Wait, which one got the majority of the toys?
I'd say that we shared our toys.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
It's a happy ending tonight.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone, for playing tonight. Congratulations, Team Walt's Frozen Head.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for playing the feud.
All right. Very, very cool. We had a lot of fun tonight playing Family Feud. Thank you, everyone, who joined us tonight.
Oh, come on. You got to give me some feud music going out.
Oh, do you want
break.
The feud? Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Oof. Excuse me.
You've never done this before. There we go.
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. Having some fun here. Just played the Family Feud for some great prizes from Theme Park Connection. You know what, Tom? Anything new coming in to Theme Park Connection?
There's always new stuff, like every day.
Anything cool? Like, sometimes there's something like, is there anything, what's the coolest thing that's come across your desk in the past couple weeks? Uh-oh. Well,
I'm like zoning out on. I'll have an answer. Give me a second.
No problem. You got some from the Figment mug. Need some inspiration.
I'm not even on camera right now. There we go. We have a test track prop in right now. We have one of the like yellow
Ooh.
Arrow signs. It's kind of cool. There's always cool stuff.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
there always is. ThemeParkConnection.com.
Yes, absolutely. Here in Orlando location, 2160 Premier Row, right by the Florida Mall. 16,000 square feet of Disney props and memorabilia, all price ranges, and really, really wonderful. And a great sponsor since day one here on, since we've been on the radio.
So. Yeah. Always providing our great prizes for all the games we're playing here.
Let's bring in our giant panel of people who actually showed up. Jason, you down there?
I'm here.
Ashley's down there, too.
Hi.
And of course, you're welcome to join us as well. You want to talk about this stuff? It's been a crazy day. And, of course, we're going to invite people to call in as well at 407-774-8255. Because this has been quite the interesting day. Certainly starting with... Jason, please stop putting comments in there. It started the morning with these Epcot rumors. Now, certainly, since the moment Frozen was announced, there's been a lot of talk about... Actually, in my lifetime, it started up several times, this talk of characters and intellectual properties being used at Epcot. I remember specifically. Really, the first time it really brought up was like not even so much the character meet and greets, but when the Seas with Nemo and Friends opened, people really started to talk about, oh, they're going to put characters and IPs in the park, and it's not going to be Epcot anymore. And of course, over the years, we've had the Grand Fiesta Tour and other things added, and now Frozen Ever After. But now, interestingly enough, there's this rumor of either, and it's bouncing around a bit between Mission Space and the Universe of Energy, but the rumor is Guardians of the Galaxy, this thing's already been approved wherever it's going. We're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy somewhere in Future World at Epcot. This is not necessarily a franchise that makes sense really with either pavilion, probably more so at Mission Space. Of course, either pavilion probably could go in a new direction. But this is a case where the you know, Seas with Nemo and Friends, obviously, it applied in that they're sea creatures, and a lot of the exhibits throughout the pavilion still just use those characters to teach kids about the ocean and the creatures that live there. But Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't necessarily really relate to originating from a particular country, or in the case of it being a Future World attraction, not really any of the themes of Future World. So what, Jason, I want to talk to you first, Jason. Yeah, Mr.
Sure
Epcot Center.
I'm sure you
What
do.
On earth is running through your mind? And we'll talk about the other attractions rumored, but what on earth is running through your mind right now?
So the first thing that ran through my mind is if they put it at Universe of Energy, I'm just going to die. That's really the first thing that went through my mind. So I'm trying to come up with the most compelling argument I can for putting it at Mission Space.
Well, they're in space.
And yeah, so I'm guessing, well, these are people from space. So you'd be flying.
Were the Imagineers working on this, or are we talking about the character?
No, the higher-ups that approve it,
yeah.
They're from space. Okay, so if you're calling it an overlay, then I don't see how you could possibly do it at Energy.
Well, the rumor is, I had been told by people that it was a Mission Space overlay. The other rumor going around that I've also been told by different people is Universe Energy would be gutted.
Well, yeah. That's exactly where I was getting,
yeah.
Was that if you're calling this an overlay, then you can't do it at Universe of Energy. You would have to completely tear out the attraction and build something new inside the pavilion. So honestly, you know, if it's called an overlay, it almost has to go Mission Space. If the Tron Light Cycle Power Run is going somewhere, that could certainly fit in Energy. I mean, Energy.
Well, the rumor
is,
for Tron is that it's going to go behind Test Track of all places.
Well, so. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's better than putting it in Energy as far
well,
as I guess, I'm
because
concerned.
Chevy, in case you don't know, Chevy obviously is the sponsor of Test Track. They're also the sponsor in Shanghai of Light Cycle Power Run. So that's why that's getting kicked around. That doesn't have as much traction, I think, as this Guardians thing, but that's certainly been talked about.
No, I mean, so, you know, they could certainly put it behind Test Track. I'm not sure how you would access it. How you would, you know, they could build a new entrance for it between Test Track and Mission Space.
Or the poor Odyssey could.
Yeah, that could be the entrance.
Or via Odyssey. Actually, it would be easier to, if you look at an aerial photo, Odyssey is totally blocked in by Test Track and Mexico. So it would be much easier to get back there if you go between Test Track and Mission Space.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's a weird kind of place to put it because it's not tied in with any current pavilion.
No.
You know, Universe of Energy is, I think, by square footage, the largest pavilion in Future World. So it could certainly, I mean, they could fit almost anything. If they're going to tear out Universe of Energy and tear out my heart while they're doing it, you know, they've got enough space in that building to do something really spectacular.
It's a
and
large building.
And I would prefer it to not be a clone, you know, but we'll see what happens there.
Benjamin, you're a guest. What do you think?
Well, the rumor of it going into Mission Space obviously makes the most sense.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels. The problem with Mission Space is not the overlay. The problem with Mission Space is the ride system. It's horrible, yeah. It's not fun, and it's nausea-inducing. And so throwing, like, Star Lords on top of that,
yeah,
not going to help.
Lipstick
you know,
on a pig.
Maybe, But maybe that's the idea, is that, all right, look, Iger wants us to stick this stupid overlay somewhere that it doesn't make sense. Let's put it at an attraction that relatively few people care about anyway.
Oh, that's completely fair.
I mean, Universal Energy, as much as we love it, I think people kind of feel the same way. It's not necessarily something that's on everyone's to-do list, mostly because it's 45 minutes long.
But if you took out energy and replaced it with Star or Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just an odd fit.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
No.
Guardians in this park makes zero sense. So here's the thing. I had this conversation with Nick, and I don't know if I've shared this on the air yet. I had been told by somebody, a bit of an insider, Bob Chapek, who's the head of Parks and Resorts, had an Imagineering meeting at Epcot probably 1 or 2 months ago now. And one of the quotes I was given that he's with the Imagineers, and he asks the Imagineers in charge of Epcot. He goes to them, he says, how do we get the Cars franchise in this park?
Oh.
And we all giggled about it. And then I started hearing, like, the Tron rumor and Ratatouille and this. And suddenly it's like, Bob Chapek really just seems to have orders from Iger to just get IPs in and make the park relevant. Now, I understand the idea of making the park relevant, and I think there's a right way and a wrong way. I don't think Frozen is necessarily the wrong way. Frozen in Norway, as much as we wanted to demonize it, doesn't feel wrong. It really doesn't.
You know, Frozen in Norway...
Like, and not from the announcement, it certainly didn't feel wrong. I feel like from the moment I was told about this Guardians thing, I just feel dirty about it. There's something...
And Ratatouille doesn't feel as bad to me.
No, and I think there's something about World Showcase where, because I think the attraction for adults is the dining, and we know the dining's not going to go anywhere. The dining's not going to get dumbed down.
Impressions to France, if they tear that out.
Yeah. I mean, the dining's not going to get dumbed down, so if there's stuff that the whole family could do as far as attractions... I don't think it feels that bad. And also, at least, it's not like they're putting a character in that isn't connected to that country. And that's how I feel like Guardians is. Guardians is like if they took Pinocchio and put it in Japan. It just doesn't make sense. That character doesn't belong there. It's like the Muppets in Liberty Square. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
How dare you?
I mean, honestly, Sam Eagle belongs there, but he's the only one.
He does, and I'm sure it'll connect to that. And the Muppets have certainly, like in their Christmas Carol and stuff like that, the Muppets perform in different venues. I still don't know if it fits in Liberty Square, but it probably has more going for it than Guardians of the Galaxy in Future World.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy felt wrong in Tower of Terror. Maybe they're just like... putting out rumors, Tom, until you say, oh, it feels right here, and then they'll go with it.
And then they'll know.
Or until the merchandising department shuts it down like our Tower of Terror bar.
Yeah.
Still sorry about that.
But no, I would agree that, like, Ratatouille in France makes sense. Frozen in Norway makes sense. It may not be my favorite idea of an attraction in World Showcase, but it makes sense, and I think it's a thematic fit, and that's where I'm coming from with all of these is, does it fit thematically? Ratatouille in France fits thematically. Yeah. Big Hero 6 in Japan fits thematically.
They're from a fictional San Francisco, but I understand. I'm okay with that, I think.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy...
Frozen is as well. How can you be okay with one and not the other?
And Frozen, people complain...
Arendelle is a fictional version of Norway, where San Francisco Tokyo is a combination of two cities.
And it's probably more San Francisco.
It probably is.
And Frozen, the thing is, the ride before it had trolls, and... I mean, there's still trolls there, so is it any less Norwegian than... I mean, it's just missing oil rigs and Vikings, and I'm not
and
sure those
bears.
Necessarily...
Polar bears?
And a polar bear.
Yeah, I suppose.
But the Vikings are outside of the ride
now. The puffins are still there, so it's at least half as Norwegian as Maelstrom.
I mean, it's a... You know, Arendelle is a fictional location set somewhere near Norway or Sweden or something in that area of the world. That's fine. It fits thematically. Brother Bear fits thematically in Canada. Guardians of the Galaxy fits thematically pretty much nowhere. And I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
In space.
Yeah.
Imagine if they made it about energy. Imagine if it was about, like, the because they go after one of the
Infinity Gauntlet? Yeah.
Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, it could be considered a power source. This is really stretching things, by the way. That they're somehow going to connect, like, Star-Lord's just going to get the stone and be like, it's kind of like on your planet with fossil fuels.
But here's the thing.
I would actually be much better with that than just flopping down.
He takes his mask off. He's like, kids, do you know about fossil fuels? Like,
all right. Well, here's the thing. Do we, if we get a really good attraction that people enjoy, at a certain point, does it matter if they move Epcot in a different direction?
It does.
Why? Yeah. Why though?
It does.
Because what are you going to do? Are you going to force them to try
it
to come up with
at
an
least
energy
make
attraction?
Sense. Like, Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land in the original theme of Hollywood Studios make no sense. But at least they are movies, and they're going into a park that is mostly about movies. So it's okay. It's passable.
Yes, but you're
Guardians
talking
of the Galaxy and Future World is not passable.
But you're
it's
talking
nonsense.
Is Mission Base passable?
No, it's still nonsense.
Okay. Well, then
it's not about the real galaxy. These are fictional planets.
At what point do we just give up and say Epcot's going to be...
Patrick was asking, is Mission Space itself passable in Epcot?
Yes.
It's not
Mission
really
Space, as bad as it is, still has Epcot qualities. It's very much about discovery. It has a song that's kind of corny, yet uplifting.
Requirement for Epcot.
It is.
Bad song.
Big blue world. Corny but inspirational.
Okay, well, would we rather have attractions that you categorize as bad and be Mission Space just for the sake of fitting into this Epcot vision that you have that you want them to continue, or would we rather have quality attractions that we could enjoy and love even if it destroys the original intention?
The answer is
false choice.
The answer is
false choice.
Well, I don't think it is. Yeah. So you're going to keep...
Anyone who's listened to us for any amount of time knows I will usually stick up for decisions if I feel like at least they're making a start decision. I pretty much stood up for Frozen from the beginning because I felt like it was the right decision. It at least made some sense. I'm not getting on this train. At any point, are we getting on this Guardians train? Because it doesn't make sense. It's nonsense.
Where are you going to begin this? It has to begin somewhere.
They
have to go back to the drawing board.
They just opened Soar Around the World, which has nothing to do with characters whatsoever.
But it's they didn't just open it. That was already a thing that they just
updated. But it's going to be there. It's not going to go away.
I understand
that. They're not going to put Zazu in it suddenly and it's going to be about Disney birds.
But if you wanted them to continually update.
I'd ride that ride.
Soar under new management.
That would be
if you want them to continually update the park, then they have to dive back into the old way of doing things and come up with attractions.
No, they don't.
Like,
no.
Seas with Nemo and Friends is a pretty good example that characters that make sense can be used in an effective way to at least be somewhat educated.
So you're fine if characters are in all the...
Characters are fine, but they have to still... There has to be a message. It can't go from being a World's Fair to suddenly just being the Magic Kingdom in big, ugly buildings. It can't be that.
And that's why Three Caballeros fits in Mexico, because those characters make sense at that location.
It can't be the Magic Kingdom in buildings from the 80s.
But how can you...
That can't happen.
How can you say Guardians of the Galaxy has no bearing on what is now Mission Space? It is...
It doesn't, though.
How the fuck?
Because it's not space travel.
What is it?
Then how do you
incorporate characters and not call it fictional? I mean,
what would there be a science fiction franchise you think would fit into Mission Space?
Like probably.
What science
fiction? Star Wars? You want Star Wars?
Yeah. No, it's still fictional, though.
The cat from outer space?
The cat that hated people.
Mars needs moms! There we go!
Horrible movie. But, for example, Mars Needs Moms supposedly still takes place in our real universe. The planet Mars exists.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Disney
Flight
franchise.
Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the
there
Navigator?
There you go.
Flight of the Navigator.
But you're all missing a very valid point here. Mission Space is already based on a movie that takes a realistic look at space travel. It's based on Mission to Mars, which is a Disney movie about travel to a real planet. It already is what you're trying to make Guardians. But Guardians isn't.
No,
so it already is that thing. It already is based on a movie.
Had Disney made The Martian, we would have an absolutely perfect overlay.
There you go. Right?
For this pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they don't have anything in the library that makes sense does not make it valid to say, hey, that's about faith. Let's put that in. You know, that's not...
Somebody in the chat suggested we'll just continue the Muppet makeover and make it pigs in space.
Yes. Might as well at this point. Energy still doesn't make sense. I don't like. And Tron, I can be okay with Tron at the Motion Pavilion because it's. I mean, it's a motorcycle at the end of the day.
Oh, come on,
it's no different than us dreaming about Cars of the Future by building your own car.
Wouldn't Tron make more sense in a new pavilion about computers?
It would. I think it would. I think Tron would make much sense in Communicore than it would in Motion.
How you fitting that in Communicore?
Well, I'm not. No one.
It's really no different.
It.
Some of All Thrills kind of already has that storyline. I mean, you build your own coaster, but it's
right. So somewhat it would based. I mean, you could put it on the roof or something. Who knows?
Well, that's actually true. Except
here's the deal.
Future world.
I feel like you're trying to make it make sense and hold on to this thing. Now, I agree with you. I am partly playing devil's advocate, but I agree with you that it would be great if we could have the old ideas of Epcot in each one of these pavilions and have great, amazing, state-of-the-art attractions in there. That would be the ideal thing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But so they either have to go all the way that way or give me amazing attractions with great IPs that have nothing to do with
this
the pavilion.
Avatar to the worst extent. Avatar.
Don't go halfway.
Avatar very loosely fits Animal Kingdom. The conservation thing is the only reason it even remotely fits in that park. If you take that away, Avatar is an awful fit for Animal Kingdom. That's what Guardians is. Guardians has zero connection whatsoever to anything about Future World or Epcot. In any version of Epcot that's ever existed. How will Spaceship Earth continue to exist next door to a Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
How does
Living with the Land continue to make sense? How does anything that already exists in Future World make sense?
You can't change it all at once. You got to slowly change it.
But all of it still coexists right now. Like right now, there's nothing you walk into where it's like, well, this doesn't apply to the real world. It all does.
That's the thing is you can put Soarin' Around the World in the land. You can put Arendelle in Norway. And those things still make sense with the current themes of those pavilions. If you want to put Guardians of the Galaxy somewhere in Future World, you've got to retheme every other Future World pavilion because none of them are realistic anymore. That's the point.
Like Inside Out, everyone's pretty much okay with that if that ever happens. If Inside Out becomes a pavilion about mental health and you know, the inner workings of the human mind and body.
You mean
okay
taking over Imagination or reopening Wonders of Life?
I think, obviously, Imagination, we're going to riot. But still, fundamentally, I think it still is...
They take a train through Imagination Land. They take a train through...
A train of thought?
If there's not a theme park ride built... I mean, that's like the Doors coaster. That's just begging to happen.
That's true. And fundamentally, that makes a million times more sense than anything. If you build Guardians, you can't do that because it no longer makes sense. There are things that actually, like putting Nemo in the seas, makes sense. You can't argue it. Even when they wanted to put Phineas and Ferb in Imagination, as much as I would have hated that, it made sense. It's a show about kids that use their imagination to build things that normal kids wouldn't because they're using their imagination. That fundamentally is the purpose of that pavilion. It's the story. It works. But Guardians of the Galaxy, I cannot see a way, and I can't imagine a scenario where they have figured out a way that Guardians of the Galaxy somehow fits into Epcot. It's them basically being, all right, well, we don't need Marvel and Star Wars in one park. We have enough of a draw at studios. Let's put Guardians in Epcot. It's the Bob Chapek coming in and asking, Cars is popular. How do we get that in here? And that's what's happening.
All right, just to interject, we are running down on a hard break here on the radio. Are we going overtime for our online listeners?
I want to come back and talk
more. All right, so we
haven't really heard from Ashley at all or Patrick, so I want to hear from them.
All right, so we'll continue this discussion in the after show, of course. That'll just about do it here. Thanks to all our guests for the Family Feud for joining us tonight. Yes. Thanks to Theme Park Connection for giving us some great prizes to give away on the show. Thanks to Ron Snyder, who showed up and talked about Dreamfinder, talked about Walt's Frozen Head with us, what it's like to be Walt's Frozen Head. If you missed any of that, we're going to have that, of course, on our archives at WDWNT.com.
For downloading also on YouTube, if you rewatch the video, it'll be there as well.
And, of course, thanks to Ben for being in studio with us tonight.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you guys for having me.
Again, waltzfrozenhead.com. Go over there and definitely take part in the Kickstarter campaign. One more real thing real quick here in Orlando, your event tomorrow night. Where is that? When?
That is at Gods and Monsters tomorrow from 6:30 to 9.
All right. So if you're local, go check that out. Meet the filmmakers. Ron will be there as well. You can do a quick Q&A with the filmmakers there. So that about do it for this edition of WWNT.
News Tonight, whatever the show's called.
Oh, yeah, News Tonight. Whatever. I started to say the web address. So I was like, I don't have time. Now I'm just rambling. Go ahead, Tom.
And remember, kids, when you hear the words go for launch, you'll definitely want to hang on.
Yes, you will.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events. Financial news.